Dear brothers and sisters, Saint Barnabas, he is the saint of the day, saint and apostle. But how do you preach on a day like this? Especially if you have stuck in your mind a saying attributed to the sainted Dr. Martin Frontzman, and I got this piece from oral tradition, to the effect that a sermon on a saint is a mangy affair. The point seems to be, if you preach the saint and fail to preach the gospel, it's no good. The fact is that for most of the saints, there isn't much to preach on. Who would dare to preach on Saint Lawrence? But he is listed in our lectionary, but thank God he is remembered on August 10, after summer school. Yet we remember the saints. We do so in the spirit of the Augsburg Confession, Article 21. It's also taught among us that the saints should be kept in remembrance, so that our faith may be strengthened when we see what grace they received and how they were sustained by faith. Moreover, their good works are to be an example for us, each of us in his own calling. So the life of the saint may illustrate the gospel, inasmuch as it shows how he received grace. Moreover, there are examples for us in our calling or vocation. And for preachers and candidates to the holy ministry, Saint Barnabas, apostle, is one of our saints. Saint Barnabas is one of those more shadowy figures. He is sort of overshadowed by Saint Paul. We do remember, and well, that at Antioch, even Barnabas was carried away to be a hypocrite with other Jewish Christians. And this is a fitting reminder. After all, Barnabas is a saint not because he was without blemish, but because, as Luke puts it, he was a man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. But that report of Paul's, in a sense, helps to put Barnabas in his place. And to aggravate the situation, Luke joins forces with Paul, narrating that famous brouhaha over John Mark. So all the Paulinists seem to be vindicated, and we tend to forget Saint Barnabas. It comes with a bit of surprise, then, that Barnabas is remembered at all in the church. And not just that, but remembered as an apostle. It shouldn't surprise us, though. Luke has conferred this title on him, Acts 14, verse 14. And Paul, who seems to have operated with a broader definition of apostleship, would probably not have objected to that. And it's Luke who provides the church with a priceless description of Saint Barnabas. For Luke, at this point in the narrative, Acts 11 and Acts 13, it is still Barnabas and Saul. Later it will be Paul and Barnabas, but that's later. Luke's description in Acts 11 is somewhat surprising. When it comes to pastors, generally what we have in the New Testament is either a list of qualifications. That's what you have in 1 Timothy, for instance. Or you have a description of how pastors should carry out their responsibilities. There isn't much of a job description. Apparently, everybody knew what a pastor was supposed to do. Well, Luke tells us what Barnabas did. He also indicates who Barnabas was, but primarily he tells us what he did. But then again, such a statement, what Barnabas did, is somewhat misleading. In Acts 11, the first and the last thing mentioned about Barnabas, again forming a nice bracket or inclusio, is that he was sent. Sent from Jerusalem to Antioch. And then at the end, sent back from Antioch to Jerusalem on a relief mission. And in Acts 13, he is called by the Holy Spirit and sent out by the church of Antioch along with Paul on what is known as the first missionary journey. In between, that is, bracketed by this gift language, Barnabas does his thing. That which he was supposed to do, and which he did, with a Barnabian touch, a style all his own. And what was that? Well, when Barnabas came to Antioch, he met former pagans, non-Jews, who became believers. That was so revolutionary that it was almost incredible, especially for a Levite like Barnabas. But he did not see just pagans joining the church. He saw the grace of God. What he saw was not structures and strategies in place, but God at work. He could have been suspicious. After all, Antioch was notorious for its superstitions, but he was glad. No grudges or jealousy, but gladness, joy. When Joseph Barnabas could have been pessimistic and negative, he rather encouraged them all to hold fast to the Lord, living up to what his last name means, son of encouragement. Later, he taught for a whole year, and apparently without ever going back to Jerusalem. That was more on a local level. Barnabas also made a contribution to the church in a wider sense. That's narrated in Acts 11:25. He then went off to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And in doing so, just as he had done earlier in chapter 9, when suspicion prevailed, and Barnabas brought Paul to the apostles in Jerusalem. In doing so, Barnabas became what probably best describes his ministry. He became a bridge builder. He builds bridges. Bridges between Paul and the Jerusalem apostles. Between the Jerusalem church and the Gentile church at Antioch. And between the Christian church and the world at large. A bridge builder. Not a wall builder. Not a witch hunter. Not a door slammer. But a bridge builder. Such a bridge building model is of utmost importance in the church. This could be illustrated in a variety of ways. Let me just mention, since I'm an outsider and I'm not from this place or of this place, that this very place, Concordia Seminary, is committed to such a bridge-building project. Here we have Christian people coming from different parts of the world, and theological and gospel ties are in the process of being strengthened. Namely, bridges are being built. Professors are going to different parts of the world, even this summer. And as someone observed, this is much more important and lasting than the signing of formal agreements at conventions or things like that, although that may be done also. But this is just an illustration. More importantly, each and every pastor is a bridge builder. And this is true in a vertical dimension and also in a horizontal dimension. As under-shepherds of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, we are bridge builders, as he is the bridge builder par excellence. And the gospel and its proclamation is this bridge. Saint Barnabas, bridge builder. As someone put it, All the evidence indicates that he was a warm-hearted, generous personality who had a splendid gift of discerning merit in others, of inspiring confidence where suspicion prevailed, and of reconciling opposing factions. What a profile. But that is law. It keeps us humble. And in a last attempt to avoid the mangy affair pitfall, let me try some gospel on you. If you feel inadequate, the solution is not to try harder imitating Barnabas, but the solution is, by the grace of God, to be like him, to believe in the same Lord in whom Barnabas believed, and from whom he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord who enabled him to be a true son of encouragement and a bridge builder. Thank God for Saint Barnabas, apostle. Thank God for enabling people like Barnabas and ourselves to be just that, bridge builders. Amen.